Ganz herzlichen Dank für das Singen.
Thank you very much for singing. I was just about to say, the greatest miracle that could ever happen on earth took place on Golgotha. Our complete redemption, deliverance, and everything that goes with it happened on Golgotha. We welcome you all very warmly in the precious name of the Lord and wish each other God's blessing. Before we pray, I would like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 to 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 to 11. May we please stand up for this. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious.
Das Bleibende in einer noch viel größeren Herrlichkeit dastehen. Lasst uns beten.
Let us pray.
Himmlischer Vater,
Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts that all this is divine reality. The old covenant, the new covenant, the Old Testament, the New Testament, condemnation, judgment, sin, death, but also eternal life and peace with God. Faithful Lord, you have brought us from the first realm into the second through Golgotha. You have snatched us from death, taken our place, and paid the price. We thank you with all our hearts on this day, faithful Lord. Good Friday is not just a day of remembrance. It is a day in the history of the plan of salvation, when God was reconciled with mankind. Easter is not just a reminder of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we remember that we have risen with you to a new life. Lord, Pentecost is not just a remembrance, it is an experience. O God, use this day so that we may come to our right and you to yours. Faithful God, accept us all. Make us quiet within. Take away all our needs. everything that weighs us down. Make us fresh, free and joyful in your presence. We thank you for this day. We thank you that we may come together like this, that there is still the time of grace, and that people can come to you. Beloved Savior, glorify your name today. Confirm thy word. Grant salvation, healing, and deliverance, and baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. To you, the Almighty God, be praise and thanks, glory and worship, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are grateful to the Lord every time we are allowed to be here, to hear His precious and holy word. In September, it will be 20 years since I first came to Zurich, Switzerland, to proclaim the message of the hour. And I think that this could be an occasion at the end of September, not only to hear the word together, but also to have some heartfelt fellowship with one another. And God willing, we will extend a special invitation for this. 20 years is a long time. And now I look at Brother Werner Sieg. He was one of the two brothers who, after a short time, said to me, "Brother Frank, there should be a meeting in Zurich at least once a month." And I declined and said, "That's not possible. I have to travel all over the world." But after that conversation, it worked in my heart. And so, for many years, on your initiative, God laid it in your heart, Brother Werner Sieg, and so we have been able to come together here. God uses different people for different purposes and determines them to do or say something. Let me read briefly a few scriptures. May they touch our hearts. We still have the memory of the day of Pentecost in our hearts and know that God took dwelling in the believers on that very day. And that is what today is all about. Jesus said, "A little while, and the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. I will be with you, yes, in you, until the end of the world." And we believe that He has made it true. God above us, God with us, and since Pentecost, God in us. I would like to read very briefly a few scriptures that show us the leading of the Holy Spirit among believers. I will begin with the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts, chapter 16, here in verse 6 it says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, people were guided by the Spirit of God We may sometimes think that circumstances are guiding us, but it may be the Spirit of God who is guiding us. The last part of verse 7 reads, but the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. The Spirit of God means a lot to believers, if not everything. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin. He leads us to repentance. He lets us recognize the Lord and also our condition. The Spirit of God is at the same time a teacher, a comforter, an advocate. He has become everything to us. We know that this means Christ in us. But as we just heard, it must become divine reality. The same life that was in Christ must be in us. Divine, eternal life. And in this context, I think of Leviticus 17, a word that is very familiar to all of us. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In the blood is life. We have already heard about life. In him was life. Divine life here on earth. He was in the form of God, revealed as the Son for our sake, so that he could pay the price for us in his flesh. I want to show you that it was divine blood that flowed for us on the cross of Calvary. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. In this divine blood of our Lord was the divine life here on earth. And therefore it is written, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Therefore it is written, he who has the Son of God has eternal life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Now we have read in Leviticus 17, the blood was given upon the altar to make an atonement by the life that was in it. And when we apply this to the blood of Jesus Christ, it means the following. In this divine blood was divine life to bring forth a divine offspring of sons and daughters of God through the new birth. For every seed brings forth after its own kind. Just as we all come from Adam and Eve in the earthly realm, so we all come from the second Adam in the spiritual realm, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul spoke of the divine offspring. We have gone through this several times. It is found in Acts chapter 17, verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God. Outwardly, we are human beings. That is true. And John writes, it does not yet appear what we will be, but when he shall appear, we will be like him. Full sons and daughters of God, in the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can read about this in Peter's letter, where he talks about us being a royal priesthood, the chosen generation. 1 Peter chapter 2. And please, let us not just hear or read this, but take it into our hearts and believe it. I read from 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 7. Here it says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This refers to us who have become believers. On Golgotha, as Brother Branham makes clear in a sermon, divine life was set free when the blood was shed for reconciliation. And this divine blood was placed on the mercy seat, so that we may approach the throne of God's grace with an open heart. But divine life returned to the blood-bought multitude on the day of Pentecost. The blood of reconciliation is on the mercy seat, but the life of the one who reconciled us to himself through the blood has returned to the believers. So the life was in him, and that same life is now in us. What does Paul write? For in him we live and move and have our being, sons and daughters of God, Christ, the firstborn among many brethren. As I said before, he became like us, so that we might become like him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there is a wonderful word. What did I say? I wanted to say 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Spirit is life. We will come to that in a moment. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And if we have heard the greatest mysteries of God in this time, and they have been revealed to us, then it is only through the revelation of the Spirit. No one would be able to penetrate the mysteries of God on their own. But the Spirit leads into the truth, and the Word is the truth. So the Spirit of God is the life of God in us. Look, you can read it in Peter. Christ died. You can read it in 1 Peter chapter 3. He died according to the flesh. That is what it says in verse 18. And in verse 19 it says, in the Spirit he went down and preached to the spirits in prison. The blood was shed, the body was laid in the grave. In the Spirit he went down and preached to the spirits in prison. Then the Spirit entered the body, and we know that the blood was put on the mercy seat. This divine life that was set free, which was here on earth in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This life has been set free to be in all sons and daughters of God, who have been redeemed by His blood and reconciled with God. Can we say amen to that? That is the mystery, not a knowledge, not a doctrine, but the divine life, and then teaching, then prophetic revelation, then all the other things that are precious and valuable to us. But first, divine life. What use would all the teaching about the highest and deepest mysteries of God and His Word be to us, if we had not become partakers of His divine nature? And Peter also writes a wonderful word in 2 Peter chapter 1. Here it says, in the second part of verse 4, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We are talking about the divine offspring, about brothers and sisters, about people who are born of God. And I have said it repeatedly here. I do not want to have only preached. I want to see you all with the Lord on the day when Jesus Christ returns. For look, it would not be complete joy for me if I did not see again those whom I have loved here on earth. That may be some mystery that I myself do not fully understand, but you know that God loved us with His love. For God so loved the world. We all know that. And we also know that it is written in the Epistle of John, whoever is born of God loves him and his children. That is written in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Here it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves their father also loves their children. If God is your father and God is my father, you love him and I love him, then we love one another as children of God, because we all have the same heavenly Father and form one big family. But I will go one step further. When Brother Branham was still with us, he was taken to paradise and saw wonderful things there. Among other things, he was told, all those whom you have ever loved and who have loved you, God has given you here. That is a mystery, the love of God revealed in Christ. Now we have received the ministry of reconciliation. That's how Paul writes. And we pray you, in Christ's state, be ye reconciled to God. And even the prophet Isaiah already said it. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. During the ministry of Paul and all the other men of God, right up to Brother Branham, there were always decisions to be made. Some loved from the heart, and others hated from the heart. You can't explain it, but that's how it was. And times haven't changed. When I heard Brother Branham say that back then, I thought to myself, if that's the case, then I'll definitely be there, for I love my Lord and Savior with all my heart, and I also loved Brother Branham dearly and sincerely. Many say, I love God. And what do they do with those he sends? What do they do with his prophets? They are mocked and rejected. You cannot love God and reject those he sends and oppose them. No, whoever is of God hears the voice of God through those he sends. God has always used people through whom he spoke. And so it is today. There were people, I saw and heard them personally, who hated Brother Branham with a deadly hatred, without reason, absolutely without reason. And here John writes again in his letter, "Do not love in the way of Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother." There are two kinds of love, but we want to have to do with divine love. God loved us. We love Him. He sent us His Word. And I'm completely honest when I say that I will sincerely thank all the prophets and apostles who had to swim against the tide, who had to endure persecution to the point of death in order to carry the seed of God's Word. When I see them again in glory, for through them we have the Old and New Testament. And by the way, the Lord says, I will read it to you from the Gospel of John. It should be in chapter 13, where the Lord says something special. John 13, verse 20. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." It is simply a divine chain reaction. Whosoever loved John the Baptist, heard and believed the message, he later accepted Jesus Christ. It went on with Paul and the other apostles. God has His way with His people to this day. And the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And the love of God is the love for the truth. We read more in the book of Acts, chapter 2, a passage that we all know very well, and it actually belongs to the day of Pentecost, which is just behind us, but perhaps ahead of us as an experience. Who still believes that God poured out His Spirit on all flesh? And as surely as there was an early rain, so surely there will be a latter rain. As surely as the early rain came at the beginning through a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so surely will the latter rain fall just before the harvest is brought in. That is why it says in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain." Here in Acts 2 we read, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." So it was not just wind, not just a roar, but an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The fire of God touched these people, and from then on they no longer spoke with a forked tongue. From then on, their tongues were placed in the service of God, imbued with divine fire. They were anointed with a holy anointing, and now, with this tongue purified and imbued with divine fire, they were able to proclaim the great deeds of God. The same is available to us. Divine fire, may it purify and permeate our tongues. God knows that we sometimes slip up, and even as believers, speak with two tongues. This should no longer be the case. May God, by His grace, come upon us in a true hour of surrender of the whole sacrifice, and in the hour of consecration, may He come upon us, so that we may feel His presence and become aware that God now not only wants to be above us and around us or with us, but wants to dwell in us through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And at that moment, Christ becomes in us the hope of glory. By the power of God, by the power of resurrection, by the power of salvation, the power of healing, the life-giving, liberating, redeeming, and delivering power of God to place us on higher ground, to renew us through the bath of the new birth, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thus, divine life returns to the blood-bought multitude. And just as divine life was in Christ and was revealed in Him and through Him, so in the end, the same divine life will be in the bride of Christ and will be revealed through her. And do you know what I have been thinking about recently? I thought we should really pray more for the sick. And suddenly I thought, let's see how the Lord did it. Whether He prayed long prayers for the sick. And just read the Holy Scriptures, and you will be amazed at how our Lord healed the sick. He spoke the word, and it was done. He asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the leper said, "Master, I want to be clean." And the Lord said, "Be clean." And he was clean. It was the word of divine authority that was spoken through the power of the Spirit. Beloved, I believe that this time will come again and must come again, when it is not long prayers, but the preaching of the gospel will increase our faith and make it so strong that we will be able to say truthfully to the sick, "You are healed." For we have actually believed for some time, as the Bible says, and as we can read in Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment was laid on him so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed." No longer future, but past. When we say to the sick in faith, "Be well," or "Be healed," we have done nothing wrong. Then we have only said in faith what God has already told us in his word. And we must learn to master the language of the Bible. Before that can happen, God must get a firm grip on you and me, on all of us, so that we can say, as our Lord said, and you can read it for yourselves in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19, "The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, the Son doeth likewise." God does not need all-rounders. God needs people who come under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. People who, while being led by the Holy Spirit, are inspired by divine inspiration to say what they should say in a particular case. In other words, direct guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Do not believe that the time will come when we go to the cemetery whenever we want, raise the dead, and then walk around the streets here and there, doing things as we please. It will not be like that. But the Lord is building his church, and in this church he has placed ministries and offices, gifts and tasks, powers of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the body of the Lord can carry out these mighty tasks. And that is why it is necessary that we have these hours of preparation. I am convinced that every service counts and is necessary to build up piece by piece and step by step on the most holy foundation of faith, until we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And then we can march forward in faith, in step, in love, and in unity. You all know about the sermon in which Brother Branham saw the bride had fallen out of step, and he managed to bring her back into step. So, in the end, the Church of the Living God will be in complete agreement with the Word of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Inwardly, I rejoice, because I know that God, in His dignity and majesty, will bring His work to completion in dignity and majesty, not in defeat, but in the greatest victory and triumph of all time. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the same power, will be revealed once again through the body of the Lord. It is the same life, and therefore the same fruit, that is, the same results, must be revealed by the grace of God. Two more scriptures that speak of the grace of God, which have become so precious to me in recent days, and then we will come to the end. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Let us pause here for a moment. In God's eyes, it happened on the cross of Calvary. But it may be that you accept it today and experience it today. But it already happened back then. And then, of course, through the resurrection, it goes on to say, by grace ye are saved. Not will be, but ye are saved. It is a perfect and accomplished work of redemption. In verse 6 it says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For a gift, we only need to give thanks. Let us read another scripture that is even more powerful. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you say to that? So, not just today or tomorrow, But those who were predestined according to his purpose, according to his plan, according to his foreknowledge, before the foundation of the world, because God knew who would believe and who would not believe, who would accept and who would reject. And that is why he has granted us grace in Christ from eternity. This is beyond our understanding. But God does not plan since today or tomorrow. God made his plan with his people before the foundation of the world. And I have only one desire, to be part of God's plan in these days, to be included in his plan, in his will, in his promises, in the realization of what he has promised, and to have part in what God is presently doing. Because we have heard the promises, we can say with complete conviction, we will also share in their fulfillment. For what God has promised us, he will certainly keep. What he promised Moses, he has kept. What he promised Joseph, he has kept. He has kept every promise. All the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ, our Lord, unto the glory of God by us. He sent us a prophet, and we are not ashamed that God has placed prophets and shepherds and teachers and evangelists and so forth in the church. Today, everyone only knows about evangelists. If you tell them something about a prophetic ministry, they fall off their chairs or get upset. Yes, it's hard to understand. But these same people want us to listen to them. Then they can talk for hours about the evangelist of their choice, about evangelist so-and-so. This and that happened here and there. They can all talk about that. And why not? But I will go one step further. Why do they want to deny us the divine right to bear witness to what God has done in a mighty way through the ministry of a prophet? You know what I mean. God catches the wise in their craftiness and makes them fools. The Lord says, "Behold, I send you scribes and prophets, and you will do this or that to them." But there are people who also listen to this, who take it to heart, and obediently do what they are told, whether it be evangelistic, doctrinal, Bible prophecy, whatever it may be. We want everything which is part of the counsel of God, every word, every area, every promise, every experience. May God grant it to us all by his grace. I know he will do it. For he who made the promise is faithful to perform it. Praise and glory be to his holy name. Amen. Let us stand and pray, and remain in silent prayer before God. Let me pass on the call of the Lord. If there are some among us who have not yet made the decision to serve the Lord, to follow Him, to be here for Him, to accept Him, to become children of God, if you want us to remember you in our prayers, then raise your hand briefly and then put it back down. Should there be some, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts that you call, pardon, save, and bless people. Faithful Lord, just as your prophets were misunderstood, so are all those who have believed a prophetic message, no matter when or by whom it was given, are misunderstood. Faithful Lord, we gladly take this upon ourselves. We know one thing, you understand us, you love us, and by grace we can say that we also understand you and that we can love you. Faithful God, it is almost presumptuous to express it this way. Nevertheless, it is true. We have heard you. We have understood you. You have placed the promises for this time upon the lampstand. Faithful Lord, in you was life, and life was the light of men. Now your life has come into us. May the divine life in us and through us now be the light of men. Faithful Lord, you call out to us, arise and shine, for your light has come. You say that those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. You say in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Faithful Lord, we cannot comprehend it. It is not us. It is you in us, the hope of glory. You are light. You are life. You are truth. You are everything in everything. Faithful Lord, I thank you for the last weeks, for the last days. O God, I thank you that your Spirit is at work in a mighty way throughout the whole earth. Now you have given us courage in our hearts and the faith that we may pray here for Central Europe. May through your power, through the work of your Holy Spirit, and through your word, and through your blood, let something truly mighty happen. Lord, may we say in amazement, this has never been seen before. Faithful God, you will not be put to shame. All they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, as the prophet Isaiah said, or rather as you said through him, the liars and diviners turn backward. but you will be glorified among your people. Faithful God, who are we that we have heard your words in these days and believed them and been sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of our bodily redemption? Faithful Lord, we still have one request. May the holy anointing and divine fire come upon your sons and daughters, that we may speak the words of God in the name of the Lord, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that it may be done before our eyes for the glory of your name. Lord, we cannot help but believe that the end will be as the beginning was. This promise will also be fulfilled. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. If your holy mouth had not spoken it, who could have believed it? But now we may believe it, and we will see it fulfilled. For the scripture cannot be broken. Rather, the heavens may fall before your word deceives me, as the song goes. Lord, we trust in you and your holy word, and put our trust in it. And we thank you already that you will bring everything to a glorious end. Praise and glory be to your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Ebenbild